this is a joint work done by my colleagues in University of Illinois and, of course, my advisor, Yi-Chun Hu. Today, we'll talk about our work in the field of security for body area network applications. I know this is primarily review, but I would like to go over some background information about body area network. Body area network is a type of a sensor network that is consisted of nodes that are physically touching the body, that they have physical access to the body. They can be either worn or implanted. These sensor nodes are there to monitor the state of the human body. And our goal is to have communication within the body area network. Here are some applications for body area network: cochlear implants for hearing aid, cardiac defibrillators for heart patients, insulin pumps for people who are suffering from diabetes. One of the requirements for body area network is wireless connectivity. And this is because they directly interface with the body, the human body, and therefore it needs to be convenient and human user friendly. And this is even more important for implanted medical device because if we do not have wireless connectivity, then we will, in order to access the device, for instance, for maintenance reason, we would actually need to penetrate the body, which may require surgery. In 2008, there was a project that involved Professor Kevin Fu and Professor Tadayoshi Kano that demonstrated successful attacks on implanted medical device. What they did is they used an off-the-shelf radio, and they hacked a commercialized cardiac defibrillator. They were not only able to breach privacy by eavesdropping, and they were also able to actively control the device, for instance, inducing electrical shocks. Our goal is to achieve security within the body area network. And one aspect of doing that is to to have an information advantage over an outsiders who do not have physical access to the body. And we call that information advantage secret. And this information advantage can be used, for instance, for key for cryptography or to spread the signal to help ensure against availability. The state-of-the-art scheme to do this is to use body physiological values, and they use randomness of the body physiological value. They model the physiological value with random process, and here I show you a plot of the body physiological value with respect to time. An outsider may have the statistics such as the mean and the drift of the body physiological value. For instance, it may have access to the red curve. However, unless it actually took the measurements, it will not have the exact history or the transcript of the path that the measurement actually took place. And that corresponds to the black curve. So the insiders of the body area network will have access to black curve, giving them an information advantage over outsiders. Now, that's the state-of-the-art scheme. And one of the more common body physiological used for this scheme is ECG, electrocardiogram. And this is because ECG is one of the more dominating signals within the body, and it's also electrical voltage signal. However, when they propose or build their scheme on this secret sharing idea, they generally assume ideal ECG measurements, meaning that they take the measurement with the electrodes located on ideal locations on the body, the electrodes deployed on the ideal locations on the body, and they use that measurement to emulate the study for a device which will have electrodes on different parts of the body location. And a part of our contribution is to investigate that measurement assumption. We study the robustness of the measurements, body physiological measurements across the body. We propose a novel alternative scheme. And in order to demonstrate the practicality of our scheme, we study the human body channel. We base our study on empirical data. That is, we conduct 4 experiments. We do an ECG experiment, which we take ECG measurements across the body to see how robust the measurement is and how reliable they are across the body. We build our scheme on a dead mouse, And to further study the mammal body channel, we do an experiment on a homogeneous tissue, which is a basically long slab of meat. And we also take noise measurement on a living human body. For our ECG experiment, we emulate the hospital-provided measure data by having a measurement where the electrodes are located on the ideal locations on the body. And this location concurs with the design of Einhovens, who is the inventor of the ECG measurement system. We take that as our reference signal, and we take another measurement across on different locations of the body, and we compare the two. To provide a quantitative measurement of similarity, we use the correlation coefficient. We learned that the measurements are sensitive to the electrode orientation, that is, the angles of the two electrodes. And we for the results, we only show the maximum correlation, because the minimum turns out to be zero because of equipotential lines. We also realized that time synchronization is crucial. If the readings are not taken simultaneously, then they'll result in a low correlation. And for our study, we focused on body parts that are more popularly used for body area network applications. And those locations are here shown here. And these focus, the body location focus, this carries over to the rest of our experiments as well. Here I show you our ECG experiment result. For the results, we actually varied the distance between the two electrodes. And as a general rule of thumb, we had 1 centimeter to emulate the implanted medical device, 5 centimeter to emulate wearable medical device. And if there's a row beyond that, then we emulated the case where the device has no size limitation. We learned that as we have more distance across the electrodes for voltage measurement, that we have better measurements and higher correlation and therefore better measurements. In general, we realized if we take measurements in the torso region, we have good correlation value. In this experiment, we got correlation that is greater than 65%, and this is because ECG is generated from the heart, and the location is close to the heart. However, if we take measurements that are outside of the torso region, then we got lower correlation values. For M1 and M2, we believe that this is because the muscle introduces a lot of noise, the muscle activity, and therefore we get low correlation. For wrist and ankle, or W and A regions, the ECG signal goes through a lot of attenuation because bone loses conductivity. And for some cases, we got a correlation value that is as low as 1% for implanted medical device. Now, theoretically, we can still use this 1% correlation value to extract ECG. However, this will involve adding a lot of redundancy and spreading the signal. In ECG experiment, we realized that the physiological value measurements of the ECG is not robust to the sensor deployment location. And using physiological value measurements, they are also vulnerable to a threat where an attacker can remotely monitor and measure the physiological value. There are actually commercialized devices that do this. One is pulse oximeter, where they use light waves to see the oxygen content of the blood vessel. And it is used in the hospital to measure heart rate. A similar technology that uses camera lens is also available as smartphone apps. Now, because of that reason, since body physiological values leak information, we propose using an artificial electrical signal rather than a body physiological value. And our signal operates below the action potential level of human body. And the action potential level is a term that is used in biology, which is the voltage threshold level that triggers activity in the body cells. And since our scheme operates below this level, we do not cause change in body physiological state. Our scheme is based on body couple communication with galvanic coupling. This term is used in the field of personal area network, where they want to establish or construct a communication network between users that are close to the human body. And they use the human body as their medium. And that aspect aligns well with what we are trying to do here. So we base our scheme on this technology. A quick analogy to RF communication will be that while RF communication uses EM, electromagnetic field propagation, this technology uses electrical field propagation. And the propagation mechanism is similar to how ECG travels across the body. We build our scheme on a dead mouse. We use a 2 Hz rectangular pulse with amplitude modulation, meaning that if it's a bit 1, then it will transmit plus alpha volts. Bit 0, it will transmit minus alpha volts for some value of alpha. And the receiver uses ML decision rule, meaning that if it receives plus positive voltage, then it will determine that it's bit 1. And if it receives negative voltage, then it will determine that it's bit 0. We were successful in transferring bits. However, this performance doesn't really translate to our application in applying to living human body. And this is because there's a limitation in the experiment that the mouse is dead. And on a dead medium, the noise is much less than a living body medium. Therefore, because of that, we need further study to do a performance analysis of our scheme. In addition to building our scheme on the mouse, we also do some study the mammal body channel. And a mouse is often used to study the dielectric properties or electrical properties of human body. And we do a channel phase response measurement, and we see that the data rate or the bandwidth is limited to 5 Hz. We also see how the voltage level gets attenuated across the body, and the result is shown on the right-hand side. The right-hand side. And I'll revisit this data in a couple slides from now on. To study the human body channel, we assume an additive noise channel model. S prime, which is the received signal, is equal to H times S. H is the channel amplitude response, S, the transmitter signal, plus the noise N. And to get a distance relationship for the channel amplitude response, we assume a path loss model for H. And we conduct experiments and do a study using empirical data. For the channel amplitude response, to get a distance relationship, we conduct an experiment on a homogeneous meat, and we validate the result that we get from that experiment using the data that we got from the mouse experiment. And for noise, we take measurements on living human body. So here I present the results that we got for the bottle channel amplitude response. The red dots correspond to the data that we got from the homogeneous meat experiment, and the red curve is a path loss fit to the data. And we see that the data does not diverge a lot from the fit, and this is because the medium is homogeneous. However, in contrast, when we do the experiment on a dead mouse, we see a lot of divergence. The divergence ranges from minus 3.7 decibel all the way to plus 13.7 decibel. And this is expected because the medium is heterogeneous. What we do for our performance analysis is we take this red curve and put that as H. But however, for our performance analysis, we scale it down by minus 3.7 decibel, and we denote that as H sub lower bound, and we use that H sub lower bound to do a performance analysis. And here are the equations for that. And this lower bound is a lower bound on the observations that we made. However, we still use this as the amplitude response, and this is a conservative approach because dead mouse is physically smaller than a human body. And by law of large numbers, the channel response will approach the mean and diverge from the lower bound. And this here, we show the result of the noise measurement. For our performance analysis, we assume Gaussian noise, and that there are many noise sources. To provide a simple numerical value, we use Shannon capacity, And we assume that the source transmitter is located above the belly button. And we also focus on the worst case capacity so that all the nodes within the network, all nodes within the network share the secret. Here are the result that we get for our performance analysis. D is the distance between the source transmitter and the designated receiver in centimeters. S and R is the signal-to-noise ratio in decibel. And R is the capacity in bits per hour. And the worst capacity bits per hour that we get is in the W region, which gives us a result of 0.469 volts. I'm sorry, 0.469 bits per hour. And this translates to a little over 11 bits per day. This is very low rate performance. However, we believe that this low rate performance is tolerable in body area network applications because BAN applications, body area network applications, are characterized by high risk and low occurrence events. And the secret updates are only necessary when there's a change of infrastructure, such as when a node is misbehaving and needs replacement or a new medical device is introduced to the body. And typically, this requires a hospital visit, so it doesn't happen very often. We would also like to emphasize that our contribution lies on sharing the secret or setting up the information advantage. This is in the level of building trust, and we can use alternative technology that supports higher rate performance after we set up that secret. Our scheme also requires minimal hardware. Unlike RF, we don't need an antenna or front-end hardware. And our modulation scheme is known to be power efficient, making it suitable for body area network applications. To conclude the talk, we investigated the state-of-the-art technology that uses body physiological values to share secrets. We learned that it is not very robust. The measurements are not robust across the body location, and propose an alternative scheme that uses artificial electrical signal that operates below the action potential level. And to demonstrate the practicality, we do a performance. We study the human body channel and do a performance analysis on a practical setting. That concludes my talk. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
So I had a question. How do you handle key generation in this case? Because it seems if you've got 11 bits per day of transmissibility and you're dealing with worst case an 80-bit key, 128-bit key, and that's just for symmetric cryptography, you're going to be there a while.
Right. But this scheme is to share the key.
Right. So you've got 11 bits per day, and there's nothing you can do better than just wait.
For three or four days.
So someone's
maybe in the hospital. Yes, but we do suspect that this is a very conservative approach. And if you do further study, then we do believe that the performance will go up, so that it will not require about a day for a byte transfer
The
secret updates, they're only necessary when there's change of infrastructure, which typically will require a hospital visit to see whether the device settles well with the body.
Have you considered augmenting, for lack of a better term, like the human body signal with just added entropy? So you're not really transmitting something, you just need both devices to just extract the same entropy from like the left side of me and the right side of me, rather than actually sending a key from, if that makes any sense.
Well, there are schemes that use biometrics or body physiological values,
right. But
we're considering an attacker that is fairly strong. And if we use body physiological values, then at least for ECG, there are techniques that remotely monitors the ECG.
Right,
and that can extract the
really work, but could you sort of boost the entropy of the system without actually having to transmit data directly? You don't really care if it comes out as a one or a zero, but it has to be random, but it has to be samplable on both ends as the same value.
I'm not sure if I really understand the question correctly. So how would the devices on different locations, how would they share the secret or share the key?
The observation is that transmitting information from one device to another is not necessarily the same thing as sampling the same random value, right? They're not necessarily analogous, so maybe you could exploit that, but I'm not sure. I was just wondering.
So you're saying that the devices on different locations will. I'm sorry. What's your suggestion? I'm having difficulty understanding.
It's all right.
We'll talk offline. Sorry, we'll talk offline. Yes.
David Coates from Dartmouth. I've been very interested in body coupled communication for a long time, so it's really fun to see someone explore the real physiological limitations of it. I too am concerned about the 11 bits per day rate. If you have a 128-bit key, that means you need to wear this device, presumably in skin contact, for 11 days or 12, which is a long time to stay in the hospital for a simple key exchange. And it seems like there would be more effective ways to exchange keys between devices rather than waiting for 12 days. And I disagree that not all such devices, interesting devices, are ones that would require a hospital visit. There are a lot of simple ones that a patient could put on themselves, and a lot of them that you might not want to wear for more than a few minutes or a few hours, given the particular place that it's worn. So I guess
Why we're being so conservative is because of the attacker model that we have.
Right. So your attacker model, you said, can remotely measure the ECG without contact?
Yes.
Without body contact?
Yes.
Okay.
And I did a micro experiment with the smartphone app, and I was able to extract a signal that is correlated to the ECG.
So you're
just using a smartphone app.
And you can't extract this signal remotely without contact.
What's right, yes. So if the measurements are robust, so okay, maybe I didn't make that clear, but I don't want to argue that the scheme is broken, that using body physiological value will not work at all. What I propose is that there at least needs to be done that fills the gap if we want to use body physiological value.
Sure.
Yes, and that can be done by adding redundancy on. Yes, because theoretically there are still ECG measurements that can be measured on other locations on suboptimal locations of the body.
Last question. So you have to have skin contact in order for this to work, right?
Yes.
So it applies to nodes that are in contact with the skin.
Yes.
What happens if the attacker is in contact with your skin?
Oh, that is one of the body or network model. Yes, that. So if the attacker does, we're assuming that it does not have access to the human body.
So a doorknob that's been wired by the attacker to extract your key. I guess you'd have to hold it for 12 days.
For a day,
maybe
yes.
It's okay.
Yes. So that was the purpose of slide two, actually. When I went over the body air network, it was one of the assumptions that we made, or the system model that we have.
What about grabbing a doorknob, like over a series of a month? Are you able to kind of leak information? Is this like a covert channel, or is this?
Yes. Okay. If the attacker has access to the body, then it will just be like being within the network.
So does the time need to be contiguous?
Yes.
Okay. So then any disruption, you reset?
Any disruption. Yes, it will not be able to share the secret.
Joe Hall from NYU. I'm not as nearly as technical as you are. Is there something you could inject into the body to increase the it may be really horrible, but I mean, maybe take it from 12 days or whatever for the 128-bit key down to a single day or some hours maybe to boost the signal. I don't know. Maybe that's future work. Maybe that'll kill you. I don't know.
Well, there...
you may not know.
You mean... Yes. I guess... I don't know. I don't know if you can inject something on the body. I know that there are schemes that uses an additional node that helps for security, and that they're called like guardian guards shields, I think one of the reasons why they do that is to may have a more computationally powerful device that can be worn.
Hi, Marcel Simo. We have some experience with a fingerprint reading authentication system, which one of the surprising findings from is that some 5 to 10% of the population they would not register fingerprint to the reader at all for a variety of reasons, which we can talk about. The point is, you know, you have population variability, which kind of defeats the authentication because you have to ratchet down the sensitivity of the reader, which means you're not really doing anything anymore. Did you find anything about what the Shannon capacity, what happens to the Shannon capacity across multiple different bodies or multiple different types of tissue?
If it's not the same body,
right?
Then it will not share the secret.
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, as far as what your capacity per day, that 11 bits per day, does that change from one body to another?
Well, first of all, I do think that this will go significantly up if we do more and more extensive study or more sophisticated study, as opposed to just using a dead mouse. However, we tried getting the approval, the ICB approval, and we were not able to get that, so we had to settle down for a dead mouse. Thank you.